This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Monday, everybody. Great to be with you. We'll open up by talking about our... Somebody who's been our Monday sponsor for more than a decade, almost a decade and a half. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs, and Purdy Insurance can handle all of them. And not only that, they'll make sure you're updated. They'll make sure that you're fully insured while saving you money wherever they can. Customer service means everything to them. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Wednesday, August 7th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We are proud to be a part of it again. Todd will be out there tearing the course up.
Not in the way people think, probably.
Well, maybe or in a
maybe
literal
in
sense.
Yeah, maybe.
In a literal sense, sure. Yeah. There we go. Is the suit going to play?
That is a question I cannot answer.
So it's an answer that the Purdy family fears. It's like, we can invite them. It looks good.
They've cut down a lot of trees around the houses on the back nine. Those people are scared as well.
Oh, have they really?
Yeah, somebody's building the house. They sold some of their land that is along the road on the other side of the back nine there.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Looking forward to seeing it. What's today? The 17th? So we got 13, 43, 50 days. Before the tournament. 50 days.
I got 50 days to practice is what you're telling me a little bit.
Yeah. I am back to, and we'll get to the U.S. Open in a moment. I'm back to loving playing the game. The last 3 years, I just didn't play well. Just didn't. And it's not like I didn't play well to my standard or whatever. I just didn't think I played well. Oh, I could find some shots that were good and bail me out of a hole or something like that, but it got to be wearing, to be honest with you. And Greg Wetzel could talk about this. When you're playing recovery golf all the time, oh, I don't want to play recovery golf all the time. It's not fun. At least I don't think it's fun. And,
there's other kinds of golf?
Yeah, well. I mean, it's like, you know, because I couldn't get off the tee to save my soul. I just couldn't. I mean, to the point where, like, to be honest with you, it felt embarrassing. I could do other things that could make up for it, but, you know, it's just not. I don't know. All right. Then I made one correction this year. One. And I did it on my own. And now, for some reason, I can drive the ball. And it changed everything. It changed everything. So I'm having an absolute blast with the game. I mean, I'm having a blast with the game because now I'm not like, you know, do you have to play recovery golf once in a while? Sure you do. It's like Bryson and Rory had to play recovery golf at times, but you're doing it from a different spot on the course compared to, okay, so the drive only went 45 yards. I still got the other 300 to go. Hey, cripe.
You also aren't we aren't dealing with 540-yard par fours either.
Oh, goodness gracious. That is just brutal. 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 Yeah, that's brutal.
Those greens were brutal.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I would sit back and say it was unfair. I've never enjoyed watching a U.S. Open from Pinehurst for that reason. Like, you hit a ball right in the center of the green, like in the center. But it's a foot off and it rolls off. I'm thinking, well, geez. Yeah. It's one thing that penalizing rough, it's, you know, and the waste areas, I think, are, to be honest with you, the waste areas, I think, are actually to watch are fun to see the pros try to get out of. You and I'd be like, oh my God, what do I do here? But the tournament, you feel like Bryson DeChambeau won it, and you feel like Rory McIlroy lost it. A little combination of both in all of this. Like, okay. DeChambeau made some shots when he needed to. Rory played a great round of golf until finally he got to the end and he missed the short putts that were stunning. Sounds like he missed like 10 to 15 footers. Like, ah. I mean, he missed those that almost everybody feels comfortable. Okay, look, I got that distance. We're good. I'll just walk up, tap it in, get out of here, move to the next hole. And he missed those two putts. He did not meet with the media afterward. He's getting a lot of criticism for it. I understand that. Let's look back in the history of the game. In the history of the game, there are people that have suffered really, really tough losses. Greg Norman had a six-shot lead going into the final round of the 96 Masters. And the wheels came off the wagon. Nick Faldo won the tournament. Okay. And after signing his card for about 20 to 25 minutes, Greg Norman stood under a magnolia tree and answered questions about the wheels coming off the wagon and the tournament he wanted to win. I mean, Norman did win two majors in his career. Both were Open Championships, British Open. But the Masters meant so much to him. And to have that happen to him had to be just an awful experience, especially at that stage of his career. But he stood out there and he answered the questions. And look, I've talked about press conference questions many times. Right? 75% of the questions that you get in a press conference, at least in my experience, and Todd, you can tell me what you think of this, 75% of questions that, you know, you expect to be asked or have to be asked. 10% of the questions are so thought-provoking, you sit back and go, oh, that's a really good question. 15% are beyond the pale of stupid.
I would agree with that.
Right? Where you just sit back and go, what? Or they ask a question that was already asked or a different version of it. Like, what are you doing? Were you paying attention? Right? You're like, oh. And he stood there and he took it. Phil Mickelson, 10 years later, 2006 U.S. Open Wingfoot. Now, remember, at this point, Phil's now playing as well as Tiger's playing. I mean, they're playing just as, you know, in 2004, Mickelson won the Masters. 2005, Mickelson won the PGA. 2006, he won the Masters. So he's going along pretty well. In fact, so now he goes out to the U.S. Open, and at this point, the U.S. Open was the second major after the Masters. Now it's the PGA, right? It was the second major after the Masters. So keep in mind, and the PGA was the last major of the year, Mickelson was trying to win his third straight major. And he got to the 18th hole at Wingfoot with a two-shot lead, and when he should have taken out three wood or something like that and played something safe, he took out the driver and he yanked it into the beer tent. And then he tried to go from the green from there, and he hit a bad shot from there, and when the thing was all done, he lost. And this is the same guy who, like, through no fault of his own, in 1999, when we talk about Payne Stewart winning 25 years ago, who was the guy he beat on the 72nd hole? Phil Mickelson. So he'd gone through the massive disappointment of not getting there. And then to do this when he had it and was playing the best golf of his career. And what did he do? He went into the media room and he took all the questions and told, and I think he said something like, he says, I'm the dumbest guy in the whatever happened to me. Said something about something self-deprecating about himself. Okay? And that's McIlroy, who's been awesome with the media. We've had him on this show. He couldn't have been any greater. But yesterday, painful, he left. I can understand why he felt that way. I can understand it. And something should be pointed out on the PGA Tour, because you are independent contractors, you are not obligated to be with the media. I don't think a lot of people realize that. You are not obligated to meet with the media on the tour golf tournaments. You're asked, but you are not obligated. I think people think it's an obligation. It's not.
I bet the obligation probably comes more from the sponsors than it does from the PGA Tour sometimes.
Probably. And so he didn't talk about it yesterday. And this guy's been great with the media. For the PGA, he's the guy that, you know, through all this live mess, he's been the guy that's been one of the front guys for the PGA Tour, defending it, fighting for it. So he's done all that. But, yeah, yesterday was too painful and he didn't do it. But other guys have experienced pain and have done it. You know? I mean, you don't think Norman and Mickelson didn't feel immense amount of pain? Where they had it and didn't win it? And at least Rory's won a U.S. Open. Mickelson never did. He finished second six times. Six times finished second.
I do wonder if all the personal stuff and everything else kind of just all hit him all at that same time, too, because I think when he was getting a divorce and now they're getting back together. And
well, it's a little more than that, because remember, they're getting divorced. Then they're saying that that there might be something with Amanda Baleonis, right? Then all of a sudden he's back with his wife again. Well, guess what? Do you feel personally burned when you're a tabloid story and it's not correct? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that may, you may be absolutely right. That may have played into it. I'm going to talk to Scott Lauber today, Phillies and Padres tonight. Phillies lost in Baltimore. Robbie Thompson got thrown out yesterday. Oh, hold on. What was that? We have Matt Cotrillo tomorrow?
I was told that we do, yes.
Oh, hold on a second. Oh, like the Red Sox just stole another base. All right. See, this is where, you know, like, let's take DeChambeau. You know, you could tell people love Rory McIlroy. You hear it chanted all over the place. DeChambeau, same thing. Okay, what is it about him? Well, why do people love how, like, Aaron Judge hit a home run last night that I think went to the top of the buildings on Lansdowne Street. Right, didn't get to the Mass Pike. Hey, it's a Mass Pike shot. No, I'm wrong. Yeah, hit the top of the building. There's buildings between Lansdowne and the Mass Pike. But it was a titanic mammoth shot. In fact, you know, if he does not hit that home run, the final would have been 9-2. But because it was such a huge, like, boom, big swing, well, you know, DeChambeau does that, and he's got a little bit of Seve in him. Because he's hitting the ball into spots like, okay, I was talking about recovery golf. Ah, he's playing recovery golf the entire round. He's in the waste area again. He's in the bunker again. And he kept getting out of trouble. But man, he hits the ball far. Whew.
I was just going to say, it is a little easier to play recovery golf 110 yards from the hole.
Tell me about it. Man, my problem is I was only getting 110 yards off the tee. At least now I'm getting the ball about 230, 240 off the tee, and I feel like I'm playing golf again. All right. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Half hour. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Dodgers has some injuries now. Yamamoto, rotator cuff, 15-day IL, and Mookie Betts broke his left hand yesterday. Hitting .304, fourth in the league in on-base percentage, fifth in hits, and just one of the truly great players out there. I said when the Red Sox traded him to the Dodgers, I said this is the 21st century Babe Ruth to the Yankees move.
I was just going to say, worst trade of your lifetime?
Oh, yeah. No question. No question. No question.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't Jeff Bagwell to the Astros is up there, though, too? Or is that the Orioles?
No, it was to the Astros. It was for Larry Anderson.
Yeah. At least Larry helped that year, I guess.
No, but like Bagwell was a prospect at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're dealing a prospect versus dealing an established all-star MVP World Series champion and somebody that is so great in the community and so beloved that he's more than just a great player for you. He is a great ambassador for you. And dealing him made no sense at that moment, makes less sense today. And that's a tough loss for the Dodgers. I guess they got Biggio just in time to help out.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today. Visit NILGameChangers.org. It is always great to talk baseball with Scott Lauber, Philadelphia Inquirer. Scott, how are you today? Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. Okay, so trip to Boston, lose 2 out of 3, trip to Baltimore, but they get Trey Turner back. What can the Turner reemergence mean for this lineup?
Oh, I think it's big. I mean, number one, it gives them their number two hitter back in their order, and they haven't had him for 6 weeks. And for a lot of that time, JT Realmuto filled in the number two spot. Then he got hurt, so Nick Castellanos became the number two hitter. He has not had a good year. He did not have a hit over the weekend in Baltimore. So I certainly think having their first choice to bat second, it helps. And number two, I just think, look, they were fortunate for much of the 6 weeks that Turner was out that Edmundo Sosa played very well at shortstop filling in for him. Lately, though, what you've seen, I think, is kind of what you tend to see when a backup player like Sosa plays every day for an extended period of time. He gets exposed a little bit, and I think that's happened a little bit here lately with Sosa. So now he goes back to the bench, and it makes their bench even stronger. So I just think it comes at a good time, to reinsert Turner in the lineup and bring a little bit more, normalcy to the top half of the order, where now they can run out Schwarber, Turner, Harper, and Bohm and have their top four hitters in place. And I think that's really kind of that's going to really benefit the offense going forward.
JT is going to be out about a month when it's all said and done. Dave Dombrowski's never one to panic based on his career along the way. So is it the thought process there that they can get along with what they have until he gets back at catcher?
Yeah, I think they think as long as it's going to be about a month and not much longer than that they can sort of piece it together with Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand, and they can get through that period of time. I wrote last week that this is a little different than losing Bryce Harper for a couple of months or being without Trey Turner for 6 weeks. It's harder to replace Realmuto because of everything he does behind the plate. He is essential to their process and how they game plan. He's a factor on both sides of the ball because he impacts the pitching as much as he impacts the lineup and the offense. So it's difficult to get through it. And I think if it was longer than a month, if it was more toward the end of the season, if this was closer to the playoffs, then they might have to try to do something. But look, if you're going to lose him at any point, it's probably the best scenario you could have. It's June. They have a large lead in the end. league in a weird sort of way. He comes back and he's fresher than he ordinarily would be if he were continuing to play 5 or 6 days a week as he does. So, you know, I do think that they're going to watch this thing closely, and if it takes a little longer and they may need a little more help as they get closer to the deadline. But also, you know, if you're the Phillies and you're Dave Dombrowski and JT Realmuto just had surgery last week, you can bet your phone is probably ringing with teams that want to help the quote-unquote help you with your catching situation if you'll cough up a top prospect or so in order to do it. So, you know, the asking price right now would be high if they went out there and sort of said, hey, look, we need a catcher. So they're not going to do that. They're going to kind of go with what they've got and hope that they get Realmuto back in a month or so.
Okay, so Robbie got tossed out of the game against the Orioles, hit by pitch, and there was, you know, plus there were fighter jets going overhead. It was all sorts of fun stuff in this thing. I want to ask you about the umpiring to this point. It's always easy, and it can be an easy complaint point for people. You see this every day. In your opinion, how solid has the umpiring been, both in the field and behind the plate, as a whole? Got lost Scott there. I think we lost Scott for a moment.
Is he there?
Yes, there. Go ahead, Scott. Gotcha. Go ahead, Scott. I was asking about the umpiring to this point.
Lose you there. Your question.
There we go. I'll give you the question again. You've seen all the games. There's been complaints from time to time about this umpire, that umpire, this call, that call. Robbie got tossed over the weekend. In your opinion, how solid in general has the umpiring been to this point? Okay. Well, we will try to reconnect with him. And that's what we'll do. We'll try to reconnect. Yeah, we'll reconnect with him and get him back on the line here in a moment so we can ask the all-important umpiring question one more time. I thought I asked it in a solid way each of the last two times, but Scott was breaking up there, and he's obviously having trouble hearing me. So we'll get that back and get him on the line in a moment and discuss that. And once we're all set with that, then we'll just continue on talking about Phillies baseball. They've got the Padres tonight at the bank as the Phillies continue with the best record in the National League to this point. Tonight's matchup, Randy Vasquez for the Padres and
all right, we're going to try this
Sanchez,
again, Steve.
Who's got that really nice 3.07 ERA to go with that 3-3 record. Not bad. So, you know, he's nearly 3-1 strikeout to walks. Not bad. But he's given up more hits than innings pitched, which I think
I believe Scott's
be surprised
back, Steve.
About at this stage. All right. Because the Phillies pitching has been phenomenal. Let's see. You're looking at, let's get to the pitching part of it here. Phillies, Zach Wheeler, who struggled his last start, 2.84. Nola, 3.48. Suarez, 1.77. Sanchez, 3.07. Okay. I mean, this is the worst of the four top starters. Walker, of course, has had the 9 starts at this point. He's at 5.33. But that's phenomenal. So of the 71 starts they've had to this point, 28, 41, 56. Yeah,
Steve,
56
Scott's
of the
back.
71 starts have been by those four guys. Unreal. They're only hitting 193 against Wheeler, 216 against Nola, 186 against Suarez. Now, it's a rather healthy 273 against Sanchez. It's, you know, but Spencer Turnbull, well, 2.79. Hoffman, 0.89. Let's say batting on Hoffman. 183 against Hoffman. 189 against Turnbull. So, Scott, did we, or Todd, did we get Scott back?
We did.
Yes, no, maybe.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I was going to say he was back, but maybe now he's not.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Good. Try again.
There we are. Hello, sir.
I'm here.
You've saved the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, so Scott, let's get to this part. I was asking about umpiring, and when I asked about umpiring, you know, Robbie got tossed. Every time you turn around, there's some clickbait headline about an umpire somewhere did something, some call. Social media is just flipping out over whatever. You see it every day. In reality, how solid has it been?
I don't think it's any worse than it's been. Maybe we've had some more higher. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Hello. I don't think he can hear me. Yeah.
Okay, so I can hear you, Steve.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
So I don't think the umpiring has been necessarily worse. Maybe it's been there have been some higher profile misses that have been clustered together here. What I do think, though, is that we live in an era where we can get everything right to such a degree of perfection because of technology. And the one thing that baseball does not do is we do not have the automatic balls and strikes yet. So I think when an umpire misses, we can see it in real time in a way that we couldn't otherwise. We can see, like, he got that one wrong. And until they get the, you know, they're working on this in the minor leagues, and I think it's going to come to the big leagues before all is said and done, the robo-umps, the automatic umps. I do think that we're going to have a way to automate balls and strikes. In a way that it sort of eliminates the guessing. It eliminates the human error of the whole thing. And for people who want to get it 100% right, 100% of the time, I think that they'll be satisfied with that. I kind of grew up at a time when, you know, there was room for human error in sports and in baseball in particular, and I do kind of like the fact that from game to game, the strike zone's a little bit different. You know, I think that's part of what makes baseball as great as it is. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of think that umpiring is no different than it's been. It's under greater scrutiny than ever before because of the technology that we have.
I'm in complete agreement with that answer. I feel the same way you do about it. As you know, because that's the era I grew up in as well. Zach Wheeler, 2.84. Aaron Nola, 3.48. Ranger Suarez, 1.77. Sanchez, who starts tonight, 3.07. Oh, by the way, the batting averages against them are 193, 216, 186. Sanchez, the outlier at 273. What's it like for you to watch starting pitching like this on a day-in and day-out basis? And what has that done to reduce the load in the bullpen because these guys eat up innings?
Yeah, I think you just hit on why they have the best record in the National League. You know, they've gone through stretches where they've hit their way to wins. There's no question about that. But, you know, one of the reasons why they're out to the start that they are out to, and one of the reasons why they look like a formidable team come October, is that the starting pitching has been so good. It's been so good, in fact, that there have been times where the bullpen maybe has not been used as often as you'd like. I mean, we normally hear the other way around, like, oh, the bullpen, you know, that team's bullpen is exhausted or whatever, or they're just leaning on all their relievers. There have been times where, because the starters are going six, seven, sometimes even deeper, they haven't been able to get the normal volume of work for some of their relievers that they've wanted. I sort of laugh and I say it's a first-world baseball problem to have when you can't get your relievers enough work. But, you know, look, there's going to come a point in the season where maybe they dial back a little bit on the starters, or you know, they figure out a way to because they have avoided injuries and they've been so good at doing that in their rotation really for the last couple of years, There was a point last year where they went to a six-man rotation for a while. I could see that happening again later in the season, maybe in the dog days of August when you get into the heat of the summer. But, you know, I think that really their starting pitching and then their depth of pitching just in general is one of the reasons why they've been as good as they've been all year long without really much let-up.
Alec Bohm was a third overall pick out of Wichita State, so I saw him in the State College Williamsport games when he first turned pro. You've watched him develop. Where is he better now than when he came up as a kid?
Everywhere. You just said it, right? Number three in the country, number three overall. You're not the number three overall pick if you're not a good player, if you don't do things at the amateur level that if you don't have a tool or multiple that, as scouts say, that would be attractive. So for Bohm, a lot of the time in college, it was the hitting tool. It was the fact that he was among the better college hitters in the country in 2018 when he came out in the draft and all of that. So certainly there's that, but then within that, there's been more consistency. You know, I think you've seen him grow. I think you've seen him mature. I think, you know, there's still power in there that I don't think we've seen yet. But there's just more consistency at bat to at bat. He hits a lot of doubles. He's a gap to gap hitter. When he first came up in 2020, I thought we were looking at a guy who would hit 320, 330 and contend for batting titles every year and hit 40, 50 doubles and, you know, was big enough that maybe the power would come, maybe it wouldn't, but he would certainly be an above average hitter. I think he's really sort of hit that. Reached that ceiling or hit that ceiling as a hitter. Then defensively, it's been, you know, you talk to Larry Boa, right? Larry Boa went out to Wichita State to scout him when he was in college. And the Phillies asked when he came back, like, what do you think? Do you think Bohm can stick at third? And Boa said, I really don't know. And we really didn't know until, late in the 2022 season? I mean, 2022, you think about the three-error game against the Mets, and I hate this place and all that stuff, but he really sort of turned himself into, I say, a passable or even, you know, maybe even slightly above average defensive third baseman. That's unusual for someone his size. He's 6'5". You don't find many 6'5" third basemen out there, but he's really done it. So I do think that he's kind of become an all-around player and a really good one at that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because when I was, and I still broadcast the State College games. It's fun, that's why. But State College is playing Williamsport, so I saw him play like a dozen games. And you know what really, I liked the bat quickness, the gap-to-gap power, loved all that. I thought he was just too stiff to play third base. It didn't feel like he was bending down to get balls. And now I see him play today, and he seems just more fluid than I remember him being back then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, and if I could tell you how much work he does before games with Bobby Dickerson, their infield coach, in spring training, I mean, it's nonstop almost. And he does. He's a lot more fluid. I think those long arms and legs kind of work a little bit more in conjunction now than maybe they did earlier. I mentioned his size and the fact that there aren't many third basemen his size. I think it's Troy Gloss and Chris Bryant are the only primary third basemen 6'5 or taller in baseball history, and Bohm is 6'5". So he's certainly in the minority in terms of, like, guys his size. You normally think of, you know, 6'2", 6'3", third basemen are a little bit more compact. Players his size usually play first base because it's, you know, there's less charging, there's less reaction, there's less of some of those things, and he's really learned how to use his body and be athletic and play that position, I think, pretty well. And I don't know if he's ever going to win any gold gloves over there. You know, I think that's a pretty tall order, but he's certainly turned himself into a guy who you no longer look at him and go, yeah, at some point, maybe very soon, he's going to have to move over to first base. You look at him now and you say, you know, he's a pretty good third baseman, and that's where he's going to stay.
Scott, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. Also fighting through a couple of the issues along the way. As always, you are the pro's pro, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Sure thing, Steve. Anytime.
Scott Lauber joining us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You know, so we had to go a little bit of delay in between, but he made it work. And I give Scott a lot of credit for that. And I give Todd a lot of credit for making sure that we were still able to get this done today. Because Philly fans want to hear about their team, and justifiably so. The Phillies are the number one team in the National League right now, record-wise. They're number two in all two in baseball. I think they're number two in overall in baseball. At this stage, playing great, and they're going to get Realmuto back. They're getting Trey Turner back today, and the Phillies are, to their credit, not just a winning team, they're an exciting team. I enjoy watching the Phillies play baseball. I mean, they're a fun team to watch. They play the game right. Play the game hard, they play the game right. Love their starting pitching. Bullpen's been really good. Defensively, they'll get Marsh back, too. We keep forgetting that Marsh isn't there. Marsh is, you know, such a spark plug for what they do both in the field and at the plate and on the bases. They're going to get him back, too. So it's not like they've been able to build this record unscathed. It's been quite the opposite. And at some point, Nick Castellanos is going to start hitting. All right, we will take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Just so you know, a listener has accused the suit of sabotage on the Scott Lauber interview. A listener did that, not me. I just want to make sure you know, Todd. People are listening. And they've accused the suit of sabotage. And the suit's a Phillies fan. I don't know. Great to have you with us on the show today. As always. Got a lot to talk about. This half hour has been brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Whether business, athlete, these are the guys to turn to. They'll set you on the right path. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. More in the next hour. Great to have you with us. Charles Barkley says he'll retire. Sure.